So the people that know the song, they want to be in the choir, come on up front, stand on the front seat. I mean, stand up here on the front steps. One woman of faith. Come on. Come on. Hello? You know this song? Come on up here. Come on. What's the matter? There you go. There you go. I know there's more of you that know that song. You got to get up on the steps. Up on the steps. Y'all come, choir. Right, come on. Get up here. Look at all the women. Where's the man? One man. Look at that. All right. Here comes another man. All right. Okay, you guys ready? Now, you're going to sing this song to them, and then you're going to go out and hug everybody's neck. Okay? Anybody else want to join the choir? Going once? Come on. Going twice? Need more choir? Come on, Bob. Lisa, you guys know this song? Oh, you all look at me like I'm crazy. Aw. You don't know it. Okay. All right, here we go. It goes, I love you with the love of the Lord, right? Okay, you all know it. One, two, three, sing.
I love you with the love of the Lord.
Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you. Point at him. Seeing you the glory of my King. And I love you with the love
of the Lord.
That's pretty good, right? One more time. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. Point at somebody. I can see in you. I can see in you the glory of my King. And I love you with the love of the Lord. Okay, that was great. Now, you all are going to sing back. Okay, everybody stand up. You now the choir. Okay, you're now the choir. All right, ready? Well, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. Can you see my directing? I can see in you the glory of my King, and I love you with the love of the Lord. Okay, now that we've got it down, you all lead, everybody sing it, and go hug somebody. Are you ready? Go hug somebody. Sing a choir. Oh, I love you with the... Go ahead, go hug somebody. Go hug somebody. Go ahead. I love you with the love of the Lord. Go on out, choir. I can see in you the glory of my King. And I love you with the love of the Lord. One last time. Oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. Love you. I can see in you the glory of my King, and I love you with the love of the Lord. Yeah. All right. See, that wasn't that hard. You could be seated. I think we ought to cut an album. What do you guys think, huh? We're pretty good. Welcome, everybody, Church on the North Coast. If you don't know me, my name is Lewis Kayaton, pastor here now many, many years. Excited about what God is doing on this Labor Day weekend. Before I begin the word, I want to invite every person in here. Now, I know you go to banquets from your job, your bowling tournament banquet, your kids' sports banquets. We're having a pot blessing this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Right here in the sanctuary, to celebrate each other, to make new friends, to greet old friends, and to just come together and enjoy the body of Christ. So that's 7 o'clock, but you have to bring a dish to share. So stop up at the chicken place and bring some chicken, or get a pizza, or make some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I don't care what you bring. And we'll have tables set up 7 o'clock. And we want everybody to come because there's great community in breaking bread together. Acts chapter 2 verses 42 to 47 says, and they broke bread together. So when we do that, we get to know each other. Now we're just celebrating 4 weeks of teaching where the men got together, the women got together. And then the following Wednesday, we're going to do a soaking prophetic night. So you don't want to miss that. Not this Wednesday. This is the pot blessing. The week after, the worship team is going to lead us. We're going to have live worship. We're not doing a CD this time. We're just going to believe that God's going to do some incredible stuff, okay? So I just want you to not stand me up. Some of you are sitting here going, I ain't coming anyway. I don't know why he's talking so much. Now, don't make me come back there, because I will come back there. But I don't want you to stand me up. I want you to say, you know what? I need the body of Christ. I'm going to make an effort to get a relationship, to break bread together, and to be able to form good friendships at church. So that'll be a great way, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Following week, soaking services. The following week, awesome class. Joanne, and Michael, stand up. They're going to be teaching this class called My Marriage. Everybody say, My Marriage.
My Marriage.
My Marriage Need Help. See, you don't want to say that. Okay. Anyway, they're going to be leading the discussion. And thank you, guys. You can be seated. Here's the topics. Becoming one. Psychological intimacy. How to develop it. Spiritual intimacy. How to develop it. And restoring intimacy. How to find it if you lost it. Now, that's going to happen on the following Wednesday in a small group setting. We're also going to have my relationship with God. So my relationship in marriage, my relationship in God. You say, well, I'm not even married. Good, we need your perspective. So come anyway. You say, well, I was married, now I'm divorced. We really need your perspective. So you come and be a part of that. And don't miss these opportunities. Now, everybody in this room, I don't care how long you've been married, you need help in your marriage. Okay. T and I have been married 43. We can use some help. All right. Then also my relationship with God. There's not a person in here who couldn't use a booster in your relationship with God. Come on now. And I'm proud to tell you, Dr. Cynthia Smallwood, who just received her doctorate of ministry, will now be teaching that class. Also, Supernatural School of Ministry students, we have nearly 30 students enrolled. And they're going to be meeting on Wednesday night, and we're going to be activating some powerful stuff. So I'm excited about that. So don't miss these opportunities, folks. Don't fall out of church. You know, people fall out. I don't go up to the midweek service. Get over here. Get over here and be a part of it and just hug somebody's neck and sing that goofy song. I love you with the love of the Lord. I never did like that song. I think that song is just plain goofy. But it worked, didn't it? It was fun. We want to say happy birthday to Carmen, 71 today. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Carmen. Happy birthday to you. Yeah. 71. Wow. Well, there's a lot I can say, but I better get to Isaiah 62. All right, let's get to Isaiah 62. How many are excited about the word? Man, if you're not, you will be. Isaiah 62, verses 6 to 7. We're going to begin there. And I titled this message simply, You Said. Amen. Just, You Said. Okay, that's the title of this message. Isaiah 62, verses 6 to 7. But we're also going to look at verses 1 to 5, contextually. And then we're also going to look at verses 10 to 12, contextually. But I want to start with verse 6. Let's read it together. If you could put it back up on the screen, please. All right, ready? Let's read it. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. Now, that's a great admonition. God's saying, I'm about to do something. I'm going to place people strategically in the body of Christ. And they are not going to hold their peace day and night. They're going to continue to make mention of the Lord. Mention of the Lord. Continue to mention of the Lord. They're not going to keep silent. Look at the next verse. Verse 7. Isaiah. Let's read it. And give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. So here the prophetic word is saying, I'm going to strategically place people in the body of Christ who are not going to keep silent, who are going to constantly mention the name of the Lord, who are not going to give God any rest until He establishes, creates, and makes sure that Jerusalem or the church is a praise in the earth. So this is a powerful admonition. Now, prior to these two verses, verses 1 to 5, and you can just scroll them, show them verse 1 and scroll down 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't have time to read it. But verses 1 to 5, the Lord is declaring over Israel, over the church, about what He wants for you and what He wants for me. In verses 1 to 5, He's saying, you know what? I just want to care for you. I want to love you. I want to lift you up. I want you to be established in the earth. Then He tells us in six and seven, how He's going to do that. Then verse 10 to 12, if you could put up Isaiah 62, verse 10. And here's what one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It talks about going through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up a highway, take out the stones, and lift up a banner for the people. I like that verse because God's saying this: I'm going to remove every hindrance, every obstacle that has been before you. I am going to remove it so you have a clear path into my presence. And I'm going to lift up a banner over you. And the banner of the Lord is His love that is lifted up over His people. You know, we are entering into a season and a time in the body of Christ where hindrances are coming down. Things that used to hold us back, things that used to be bigger than our God, are suddenly shrinking. And we're seeing ourselves accelerating our relationship with the Lord. Now, Isaiah 65 and verse 24 gives us an insight about God that I love. It simply says this: it shall come to pass that before you call or before you pray, think about this, before you even pray, while you're even praying, I've already heard. In other words, God already knows about your problem. How many believe that? Can I see your hand? 15 people believe that. Yes. Woo. No, listen. God already knows about your problem. Say this with me. God, you already know all about my troubles. See, God already knows what you're going through. God already knows about your problems. Here's the challenge. He wants to hear if you know about His promise. Before you even pray, God said, I got it. God, did you see what happened at work yesterday? Got it. God, you see how the people are treating me? No problem. I know about your problems. I want to know if you know about my promise. You and I need to stop praying our problems and start praying the promise. You follow what I'm saying? It's easy to pray the problem. Look at me. Problems come natural. Problems come natural. You want some problems? I got a pocket full right here. How many you want? Problems are like dust. They just show up. Right? I mean, you dust the furniture. It's like, where does dust come from? It just shows up. Problems come natural. Promises of God come only to the diligent. Problems come natural. Promises come to the diligent. Watch. Proverbs 4:23. What does it say? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. So I need to keep my heart with all diligence. The word diligence means persistence. So I have to be persistent to find the promise. If I'm not persistent to find the promise, the problem will come automatically in my life. The problem will rule me because I haven't stayed diligent. The promise will elude me. But God already knows about my problem. So for me to pray the problem is not going to help me. Actually, it's going to hurt me. Because what you do is you activate angels according to your words. Hold that thought just for a minute. The other day I was somewhere and somebody had a Ghostbusters t-shirt on. And I didn't know it was Ghostbusters. I thought it was Casper. I said, oh, is that Casper, the friendly ghost on your shirt? And they said, no, that's Ghostbusters. I said, oh, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? Yeah. Okay, got it. This is the craziest experience. You'll not believe it. Well, anyway, I responded to the lady. And I said, I'm a Ghostbuster. I said, I'm a demon basher. I said, who are you going to call? Call Pastor Louie. You know, I mean, I'm a demon buster, right? I'm a demon buster. Well, last night we were sitting in a shopping area, and I don't know where these guys came from. There was three guys dressed like Ghostbusters. It wasn't a parade or anything. They're just walking around. They had the full pack of whatever they used to bust the ghost on their backs. And three of them are walking through the shopping center. I'm like, they must be looking for ghosts to bust. It was like the Holy Spirit said to me, you have to understand how you can activate angels. How you have authority over demonic spirits. You know where demons came from? A third of the angels of God rebelled, went with Lucifer, and they became evil. They came demonic, and now they work towards the Lucifer's will or to establishing evil. A third of the angels, how many are that? Man, that's more than 10. There's a lot of angels, and a third of them were cast out of heaven. So now understand something. When you pray the problem, you speak the problem, you activate the wrong angels. If you go walking around saying, God, I know I'm just not worth anything. I just wish I was dead sometime. Okay, you say that to God. All of a sudden, that's like dispatch. This is Lou Caton saying, I wish I was dead. And demons pick up on that. They go, whoa. He just said he wishes he dead. Send five demons to kill him. Oh, you said that doesn't happen. Oh, yes, it does. Who are you going to call? Ghostbuster? You need to bust the devil. Bust the demon. How? By praying the promise and not the problem. God already knows about your problem. Look at somebody and tell them, God knows all about your sorrows. Instead of complaining about lack, oh, God, I don't have enough month at the end of my money. Oh, God, help me do this. Oh, God, would you please pay my bills? Instead of saying that, say, God, you said. You said you'd supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Come on, say, you said. Now, the way you spell that is you said. S-E-D, you said. So you got to walk around and go, you said. You said. And you said you'd meet all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So you got to practice praying the promise rather than the problem. Why? Here it is, Psalm 91, verse 11. How many know Psalm 91, verse 11? He shall give his angels charge over where? Over you. To keep you in all your ways. So if he's giving me angels to keep me, charge over me and to keep me in all my ways, when I pray the promise, I activate angels and I put the miracle into motion. But when I pray the problem, I activate demons to establish the trouble I'm experiencing. Because the words are words, the power of our words. There is life and death where? I'm not sticking my tongue out at you. I'm just trying to illustrate in this thing. There's power of life and death is in the tongue. So I've got to remember, I got to stop praying the problem. I got to be diligent in order to find a promise and then begin to declare that. I need to say that to God. I need to say, God, you said that you would meet all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, this is illustrated in Luke 4:4. Jesus is in the wilderness, right? And he's being tempted of the devil. And what did he say in verse 4? He said, man shall not, let's read it together. Man shall not live, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, but every word of God. So Jesus, how many believe Jesus is God? Cool, I'm in the right church. You don't believe he's like Lucifer's brother, or you don't believe like he's a prophet, or anything. He's God. That's why when you say Jesus is Lord, it makes people feel uncomfortable. Because you're saying Jesus is God. But he is God. Look what God said about God. God said about God that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Well, who is the Word? Jesus is the Word. So Jesus is saying, you can't live without me. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that's how you live. Acts, I think it's 17 or 18, says, in him you live, move, and have your being. So if you're not in him, you're not living right. You're not moving very fast. Come on, your life is not where it needs to be. So I need to find the promise, be persistent, and pray the promise, and quit praying the problem. Problems come natural, I got a pocket full. Promises come to the diligent. Promises come to the diligent. So God's word coming out of your mouth is alive and powerful. Hebrews 4:12, look at it on the screen. He said, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So I realize that when I'm speaking the word, I'm speaking the promises, I put the miracle in motion and I activate angels. So I'm activating the right angel corps and I'm putting in motion the miraculous. But it's based on my praying of the promise. If I'm praying the problem, I'm activating the wrong angel corps and the miracle is stymied. I'm dependent upon the natural. But I know that I need super on my natural in order to make it today, right? I need God's investment in me. So I have to be diligent to find the promise and declare the promise. So if you begin to pray this way, it'll change your life. I mean, I'm telling you, it'll change your future. It'll change everything about you. And one day, instead of saying, God, you said, you, S-E-D, you said, I should make a t-shirt like that. You said. But instead of saying, you said, you'll say, you did. I'm looking for the you did. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying, because I have my eyes on the prize. I know that if I say, you said, eventually I'm going to be able to say, you did. I'm going to be able to say to you, he did. Look what the Lord hath done. You get what I'm saying? So I'm going to realize that I have to pray the promise, quit praying the problem. Let me ask you to do something over the next week. Take inventory of your prayer life. How do you pray? You find yourself praying, oh God, you know, I was in church last week, Lord, even I didn't want to go, and I went anyway, and you know that counts for something. And no, that's not praying for promise, that's pleading. There's a difference between pleading and presenting. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But learn how over the next week to take inventory on the way you pray. You said, God, I would lend and not borrow. So God, I don't know why I'm in this loan officer's office right now. This is out of character for me. Father, I thank you that you said I would lend and not borrow. God, you said you would prosper me even in the desert. We sang about it this morning. You said my cup would overflow. You said you'd lead me beside still waters. God, I'm in the middle of a storm. Hey, you said I would find still waters. So I'm praying the promise. Now, God, help! I'm in a storm, and it looks like I'm going to die. That's praying the problem. That's praying the problem. And you just activated angels to hold you under. I know, I'm saying, no, God, I'm in the middle of a storm, but the winds and the waves still answer to your name. So if the winds and the waves answer to your name then, and you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, I don't care how far ahead we are in the time clock of history, God, your winds and waves that are overtaking me now will obey your name now. Say the name. Say the name. I say Jesus. I say Jesus. I say wind, be still. Water, be calm. Why? Because I'm praying your promise. You follow what I'm saying? Okay, you follow what I'm saying? Good, good, good. So the scripture says in Isaiah 62 and 6, don't keep silent. Some of us sing this song, que sera, sera, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see, que sera, sera. Pooh! I'm not caseroling through life. The future is mine to see. I know the plans that I have for you, for your good and for your welfare. Caseroling me. Understand something, church. You need to learn how to present yourself to the Lord. Isaiah 41 says this in verse 21. Present your case, says the Lord. You got to make your argument known to God. But you got to present the evidence. What is your evidence for your argument? Present your case, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, says the King of Jacob. Now, in this context, they're actually, God is challenging them about the idols that they learned to trust in. He said, now bring your evidence that these idols are going to help you. So principle-wise, we got the same truth. God's saying, I want you to present your case to me. Don't rely on the problem, repeating it over and over like it's going to go away magically, or that you can do this yourself. You can't do this yourself in the natural. You need the miraculous promises of God coming out of your mouth, ascending into heaven, activating angels, and putting miracles into motion. So when we plead our case rather than present our case, we start saying dumb prayers like, God, you know I tithed last week. God, you know I'm a good person. God, you know I went to church. God, you know I volunteered last week to help in the nursery. God, please, God, God, please, God, God, please, God. You've got to help me, God. Then we get real religious and we start singing our prayer. God, you know, God's not moved by that either. And sometimes we get real emotional and we wail and we cry and we're, oh, God, help me. That's pleading a case. God said, don't plead your case, present your case. So you need to present your case. So what do I have? Evidence of the fact that this is happening to me illegally. What I'm in the middle of is not your will, not your plan. And I must come before God, Creator, the judge of heaven and earth, and present my case and say, God, you said. And what's happening to me right now doesn't line up with what you said. Okay, it doesn't line up with what you said. So therefore, make what you said what you did. All right, are you following me so far? It's a simple teaching, really. There's not much to this, but there's a lot to it when we don't get it. Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. This is a great portion of scripture. I'm not going to keep you real long this afternoon because I think the barbecue's heating up. We need to go out and do some dogs and chicken and stuff. But listen to this. Can you get up Luke 18, verses 1 to 8? This is a story of a woman who went to an unjust judge. Now, I want you to know, I'm going to preface this, God is not like this judge. God loves you, God's for you, so don't equate this judge to your God. But the principle here is powerful. He spoke a parable to them, and he said, men ought always to pray and not lose heart. So what Jesus was saying is you find the promise, you declare it, you pray it, and don't give up praying it. You just keep praying it. Now, we go to the next verse, verse 2. You can just get right there. Saying there was a certain city, a judge, who did not fear God and did not regard man. Verse 3, go keep going with me. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me for my adversary. Now why would she go to the judge and ask for justice? She went to the judge to ask for justice because it was a law of the land that the adversary that was oppressing her was not permitted to do that. So based on the law, she went to the judge and said, you need to uphold this law. You follow me? This law says he can't do that to me. I want you to fix this. So she was bringing the promise or the word or the law to the judge. Now, what happened was, if you go to the, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, look at verse 5, this woman is wearing me out. In other words, that because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. So what he was telling us in this particular story, a couple of truths, and I want you to get this. The woman, what attorney represented her before the judge in the story? There was none. So she was defending herself. She went to the judge to herself. Now, this is a principle. Please get this. There'll be times in your life when you can't get no help from nobody. I just had some help. Somebody just come over here and help me. Look, sometimes all you're going to have is what the law said. Sometimes all you're going to have is what the word said. If the word said it, take that to the court. Plead. Present your case. Don't plead your case. I come now to the courts of heaven and I say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Plus, listen to this. When you get the word, when you get the promise and you present it to the Lord, you don't come by yourself. Because when you bring the word, you bring your lawyer. Some of you are looking at me like a new gate, you know, cow in the new gate. You're like, huh? Listen, when you get the word of the Lord, you bring your lawyer. Because the Bible said Jesus is our advocate. How many know what an advocate is? A lawyer. So when I get a word that said you're going to meet all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and I come to the judge with that word, I'm actually bringing with me at the same time my attorney. And let me tell you this, Jesus has never lost a case. All right? So when you come to him with the promise, you are bringing your attorney built in to the word. Because the word is your advocate. And the advocate is Jesus. So when you bring your advocate to the court, it is like, because you come shamelessly, because you come persistently, according to Luke 18, one of the versions say it this way, because of her shameless persistence, the judge answered her cry. Now, I can imagine there were a bunch of people around her life saying, would you please stop going to that judge? You're making a fool out of yourself. I'm like, you know what? Ghostbuster, and you're a demon. I don't want to listen to you. I am going to the word. I am going to go to my Father in heaven. He said, he said, he said, you said, you said, you said. And so she kept coming, she kept coming. And then she was awarded. I love this fact that she was a woman pursuing before the judge, even though there was no man to speak to her. So don't get nervous. Don't get mad at the church. Well, I was somebody to help me. Shh, you got all the help you need. You think my 2 cents is going to help you? Well, if you just pray for me, I'll pray for you. But wait a minute, you're relying on me when you got the judge, you got the advocate, you got the word, you got all the evidence you need. Just take the word to the judge. You get what I'm saying? Now, sometimes you just have to be persistent. T and I were very, very hot on Monday. We took a long motorcycle trip, and it was hot. And I'm like in the sun being baked. I'm like, it's hot. And I needed to go to the restroom, and it was like, next rest stop, 2 miles. I said, oh, great. Next rest stop after that, 75 miles. I'm like, oh, man, we better stop right now. So we stopped, went to the restroom. I said, I am so thirsty. You know, it's hot, and you're on that sun exposed, your wind blowing all over and dehydrating. I said, I got to have some water. So I went over to the building where the vending machines are, and there was a sign on the door that says, closed, vending is closed. And I said, no, you're not allowed to be closed. I'm thirsty. You can't close. So I'm looking at it. I said, Tina, the sign reads it's closed. But then I saw somebody inside there stocking the machines. I said, they're not closed. They're just working and don't want me in there. So I knocked on the door and I said, ha! I'm not kidding. I just knocked on the door. And she said, can I help you? I said, I've got to have some water. I need some water. And she said, well, all I have is warm water. Like, you don't want that. I said, I'll take it. So we end up paying for the water and $2 for a bottle of water. Isn't that crazy? $2 for a bottle of water. Well, anyway, paid $2 for a bottle of water. And we're sitting at the picnic table. And I said, see, isn't that great? I said, you know, you just have to be persistent. And look, God answers your prayer. And I said, boy, you've got ice, don't you? In the back of the motorcycle, you got ice. I said, let me get that ice. I'll crush it up and we'll put it in the bottle of water. We'll have cold water. When she said it was warm, she said we couldn't have any. I said, I feel a sermon right here at this rest stop. I'm serious. I did. So I broke up the ice and I put it in the bottle and I'm drinking. I'm like, well, this water tastes funny. I said, Tina, taste this water. She's drinking it. She goes, ooh, that tastes like soap. I said, I thought it had a funny taste to it. She said, did you break up that ice out of that baggie that I had? I said, yeah. She said, well, I had my Dove soap bar in that baggie, and I just put ice in there to keep the food. I said, that's why. I don't care. I am shamelessly, persistently drinking this water, and I drink it all day. And I said, he's bubbling, he's bubbling, he's bubbling in my soul. I said, I'm going to drink this water. You know what I went through to get this water? Just have to be shamelessly persistent. I saw people walk up to that vending place and saw the sign and turned around and walked away. How many times have you walked away when something said no? You applied for the loan for that house and they said no and you gave up. Don't tuck tail. Don't quit. Don't give up. Present your evidence. You said. You see, the Word of God will speak for you. In the parable of this widow and this unjust judge, we have to understand that this woman is extraordinary in her faith. She was an ordinary woman, but she found the extra. Do you remember last week? The extra is the promise when you put it on your situation. It's like, extra, extra, read all about it. The extra vaults you into the supernatural. It takes you into another realm with God. You put the Word on it. So we have to learn how to present our case to the Lord. So, Father, you said the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter day by day. I thank you, Lord, today that August 31st is going to be the brightest day I've ever lived. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, well, that's silly. Look at those dark clouds out there. Shh. Shh. Lord, you said the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter day by day. This will be the brightest day that I've ever lived in my life. Lord, my case is not based upon what I feel. It's not based upon the economy. It's not based upon the medical report. It's not based on what somebody said or didn't say or how many people came to my party. It's my party. And I'll have fun if I want to. My case is based solely on what your Word says. And I know you cannot lie. What you said, you will do. So you plead, no, present. So you present your case. God, you said, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Isaiah 54 and 17, so I present that case. We had a little fun yesterday at the ushers and greeters picnic. Three teenagers are kind of hanging out. They were bored, so I went over to them and I said, I challenge you right now to a water balloon fight. It looked at me like I was crazy. So I'm going to give each of you a balloon and one shot to try to get the preacher wet. They said, really? I said, yeah. Are you guys here this morning? I don't see you. Monty, are you guys here? Donnie? Where's the kids? They're here? Stand up, children. There he is. There you are. Come on. Wait, one more. Where's the other dude at? He's not here. Okay. Those two lovelies. And her younger brother. I stood 20 feet off. I said, take your best shot. She took that little balloon and wound up. And it hit me, bounced off, broke on the floor. I said, hey, hey. I don't know if Dana was next or not. But anyway, I said, go ahead, give me your best shot. Bounced off. The other one threw it, went over my head about 20 feet. And somebody yelled in the background, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I went, God. I said, okay, now it's my turn. So I went and got three balloons. I said, stand right there. Spread your arms. I threw it. I said, you don't want to mess with the anointed. I think it was your brother that it bounced off of. The two girls weren't quite as anointed as their younger brother, but God, you said you're very present help in time of trouble. Here's my evidence. God, you said the strength of the wicked is being cut off, but the power of the godly is being increased. I thank you, my power is increasing today. I thank by the even though you said that the young men shall faint, God, you said I will rise above like an eagle. God, I'm not growing weary. I'm going to rise above. You said. So you got to present your case before the Lord. Here's the question. Are you pleading your case or are you presenting your case? I'm going to close with this thought. Can you handle one more little mini story? Okay. Look at somebody and say, if you're visiting today, that's his first closing. It's no big deal. All right, you ready? Genesis 32, verses 9 and 12. Now, you know the story about Esau and Jacob. Jacob did what to Esau's birthright? Stole it. By deception. So Esau was supposed to be blessed. But Esau came in on the prompting of his mother, dressed up, made himself hairy and whatever, gave the stew to him, and his father Isaac blessed him. When Esau found out about it, he was not very happy. It caused a rift between them. Esau goes his way, Jacob goes his way. Many years later, Jacob was about to run into Esau. Esau became a mighty nation. Jacob became a mighty nation. Jacob, in the natural, was concerned about his future. So he divided his family in half, right? Or almost half. Sent part of them forward with all kinds of gifts to try to soften the heart of Esau because he didn't want Esau to kill him. Now, when you're in that kind of situation, the natural response to that is intimidation. The natural response to that is not to move forward, but to stay where you are or go backwards. The church, by and large, has been so intimidated by circumstantial evidence that we either stay where we are or we backslide or back away from where God wants us to be. However, Jacob had a promise. Watch this. I want you to read it with me. Just come on, let's do it together because you need to get this in your spirit if you don't hear anything else. Ready? Let's read it. Then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who... Okay, stop right there. Now, who's he talking to? God. What is he doing? Is he pleading his case or is he presenting his case? He's presenting his case. If he would have been pleading his case, what would he have said? He would have said, Oh, God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, Oh, God, you better save me from this crazy man Esau. He's about to kill me. I'm so sorry. I was deceptive. Lord, I wasn't thinking. Get me out of this mess. That would have been pleading, but he didn't do that. He presented his case, and what did he say? He said, the Lord who said to me, here he goes, return and to your family. Now, Jacob is about to meet Esau, didn't know his future. He was obviously intimidated. If you read the story, you'll find that he was nervous about what was going to happen. But in his going, what kept him going, I'm talking to somebody here this morning, what will keep you going is in remembering what God said. He was going to meet Esau, his adversary, but he remembered what God said. What did God say to him? Go back to the verse. He said, I will deal how? Well with you. I will deal well with you. So in his going, scared, nervous, intimidated, God, you said it would go well with me. I feel like I'm about to die, but God, I know it's going to go well with me. I know it's going to go well. I present myself to you. You said that it would go well. You said if I'd go back to my country, if I go back to my family, it would go well with me. Every step he took, he had to keep presenting his case before the Lord. Then in verse 12, if you look at the same chapter, chapter 32, and we're ending with this. Come on, read it with me. All right, say that again, just the first three words. For you said, for, because you said, I'm going to keep on keeping on. Because you said, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop going to church. Because you said, I'm not going to backslide. Because you said, I'm going to keep on believing. Because you said, I'm going to stand on the promise of God. Because you said, you following what I'm saying? Because you said, what? Let's read it. I will surely treat you well and make your descendants, which cannot be numbered by the multitude. So here's what he told God. If I know it's going to go well with me because you said that my descendants are going to be like the sand of the sea, and I can't have no descendants if Esau kills me. You following me? Because you said, I will be, my descendants will be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered. I'm going to keep on keeping on because when I face Esau, everything's going to be all right. Did you know that 85% of what we worry about never comes to pass? 85% of what we worry about never happens. So he had to get what God said into his heart to keep moving forward. Don't stop, church. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Look, I know some people have bashed you. I know some churches have hurt you. I know some preachers have maligned you and took advantage of you. I know you've had some bad experiences. Listen, don't you begin to present the problem to God. Get the promise. Find the promise. Get diligent. Find the promises of God. Don't walk away. Find a you said. Find a you said. Find a you said. Because you said. And God, I'm going to hold on to this because you said. And when you do, he'll prompt you to go forward. He'll prompt you to continue. Listen, God wants you to have a good marriage. God wants you to be blessed in your marriage. God wants you to be happy in your life. God wants to prosper you. God wants to heal your body. God wants to restore what the devil has stolen. I'm telling you, you got to get a hold of the promise. Be diligent. Problems come natural, just like dust. You want a problem? I'll give you 15 of them this afternoon if you want one. If you don't have enough, call me this week. I'll give you 20 more. I got problems everywhere. Problems are like, they like grow up like weeds in the grass. They're like, problem. Hey, problem. And they have these little miles going, hey, did you look at me? I got a problem. Hey, there's a problem. I'm like, you know what? I got enough problems. I'm going to be diligent to find a promise. Because when God said it, he will do it. You said, I will treat you well. And make your descendants as the sand of the sea. How many remember the story, how it ended up? Esau and Jacob, when they got together. How many remember the story? Didn't Esau like cry? And didn't Esau like hug him? Isn't that amazing? The very thing you thought was going to take you out cries when it sees you and hugs you. Oh, I love you. I mean, you love me. You got a knife in your hand? No, Esau loved him. Esau blessed him. If you'll go forward with the promises of God. Some years ago, I went to Africa 4 times. God just said, go. So I went around the country in Uganda, and we just preached and raised up leaders. And many of you had opportunity to pray with us. Pastor Troy was with me. I remember a couple times how powerful God moved, and hundreds of pastors would gather, and we would teach them and pray for them. And as a result, 3,000 churches were planted. Did you know that? 3,000. That's an amazing thing. That's incredible. And, you know, I kind of laid that down. I felt like that season was over, and I've been really concentrating on the ministry. I'm on the church and both campuses and doing what we can to just love on people. And God kept putting in my heart, he said, you know what? You can't let that go. You got to keep going. You got to go to the nations, and you got to declare the word of the Lord. You got to preach this message to some pastor that's discouraged somewhere. I said, well, okay, God, if you make the way, I'll go. And I felt the prompting of the Lord. And so what I'm asking for is help to get there. Now, I need 30 people that'll say, you know what? I'll sow $100 to get you to Brazil. And that's where I want to go on the 1st of December. Next spring, I feel like God's already speaking to me about China, Hong Kong, and the Philippines. And maybe just going there to preach the word and find one pastor, just if I find one, to say, God said you can. And just reverse the curse and help them to see their potential in God. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask, if I'm not taking an offering today, but if you would feel led of the Lord to be one of the 30 or one of the 60, maybe $50, whatever combination to help us, then I can go ahead and make application, pay the money ahead of time, and I can go to be part of this revival and the street ministry and pastoring. God's going to give me pastors that need my 35 years of ministry experience to help encourage them and lift them up. And if we don't reach the amount that we need it, I will refund your money. So when you give, say you gave $100, say $100 Brazil for Lou, and I get that money and I only get part of it, I will refund it to you. And I won't keep it for the next trip or whatever. I'll just give it back. But nothing will go for me to go to Hawaii and take a little vacation or to buy a little car or something. You know, my car got hit by a branch on Tuesday at Troy's house. A branch came down and crushed the hood of my car and broke my side mirror. My little baby, she was crying. I called the insurance company. They said, well, look, you can fix it, but if it's cost more than $2,500, you got to junk it. I said, what do you mean, junk it? He said, it's only worth $3,000. I said, I am not junking that car. But I won't buy a new car with it. And we'll go just for that trip. So if you feel so led of the Lord, Facebook me, Twitter, call me, text me, call the office, say I'm one of the 30. And if I get the money, great, we'll go. If we don't, I'm not going to go in debt to do it. And I'm not going to sell cupcakes and have a car wash to get the money. So it's just whatever, you know. If you want to help me get there, I'll get there. And I promise you, I will steward it according to the anointing and the grace of God upon my life. Everybody say, you said.
You said.
Come on, say it one more time. You said.
I'm looking for the day
when I will say,
you did.
I'm looking for the day
when I will see,
you did.
You did
what you said.
Why don't you praise him right now for it? Come on. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Woo. Thank you, Lord. I just want to pray for people right now that maybe you have been backing up, maybe standing still because you've got too many problems and you have not been diligent enough to get a hold of a promise, and this whole world is just shaking your core and shaking your faith. But today you've got a revitalization of faith and you're saying, you know what? I'm going to be persistent. I'm going to get a word. I just ask the Holy Spirit now to give me a promise. That's all we're going to pray for, is that the Holy Spirit will give you a promise so that you can hold on to it, okay? So if you need that prayer, just kind of lift a hand up and put it back down if that's you. All right, Father, I thank you for those that have just raised their hand. I'm praying now, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit. Rest like a dove upon each one of these, Father, that are looking for a promise. Father, we got an abundance of problems. We're casting those aside. We're brushing those aside. And now we're looking for the promise, Father. Thank you. Father, begin to speak. Word of God, speak. Woo! Word of God, speak. You're our advocate. You're our attorney. We present our case before the Lord today. And I thank you, Father, for a favorable ruling, a favorable outcome, because the gracious hand of God's favor is upon my life. Thank you, Lord. And I receive that now in Jesus' name. You know, I want you to look at me just for a second. You know, a lot of people, they say, well, come to my church or join my church, or you need to be saved, you know, get out of that sin. And we want people to believe before they can belong. And I'm just telling you, we need to rethink that. The whole concept is, even the disciples didn't believe right, but they belonged. They were like 3 years into it, and they're like, who is this guy? Even the winds and the waves obey him. They didn't even know it was Jesus, the Son of God. It took a divine revelation from God for Peter in Matthew 16 to go, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He finally got it, but it took a divine revelation. But that did not cause them to be left out of the community of faith. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. He didn't say, believe right and you can be part of our kingdom. So I want you to know that you can belong to this community of faith. That's why Wednesday night is so important, to be a pot blessing, hang out with people, love some people, and sing, I love you with the love of the Lord. That corny song, you know, just do that kind of together. It's important. Why? Because we need each other, folks. So I'm asking you today that if you're not born again, you can belong to the kingdom of God. We'll fix your belief. You come to sermons like this, you'll get it eventually. You'll start walking by faith, not by sight. You'll start appropriating the promises of God. And we'll get you in the foundations of faith. We'll teach you some of the basic structure and how to operate in the supernatural. You'll get it. But you got to start. You got to belong. So every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, if I were to die today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. But I want to go to heaven. It's as simple as ABC. Number one, A, is accept. Accept the fact that you're a sinner, and without Christ, you cannot go to heaven. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Believe that the blood was enough to remit all of your sin. C, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, and you shall be saved. So it's as easy as A, B, C. You say, well, Pastor, pray for me. I want to go with God. I want to start serving the Lord. Would you pray for me? Absolutely. So with nobody looking around and that's your need, I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Lift it up high enough for me to see it so I can pray for you. It's A, B, C. You ready? One, two, three. If that's you, just hold your hand up. One over there. Yep. And one over there. And where? Over there, Tom? Yeah, I see it now. Back there. Thank you. Back there. Thank you so much. Up here, sir. Thank you. You can put it down. Anyone else? As easy as ABC. Oh, yeah. Right over there. Thank you. I appreciate that. Anybody else? Yeah. Amen. And Christians are praying for you because we've all come through the same tunnel, the same portal, the same pathway. We've all had to accept,
believe, and confess. Right? Okay? So anyone else? You said, I didn't raise my hand, but boy, I really need that prayer. Pray for me, Pastor. Amen. Anybody else? Just lift it up high enough. Back there, Tom. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm glad I asked a second time. All right, in a minute, we're going to stand. And then we're going to have all of you that raise your hand and anybody else that has ministry need to come forward. Our altar ministers are going to come. And let me tell you what happens up here. Where two or three agree touching anything, it shall be established. Jesus said, where there's two or three gathered, I'm in the midst. There's something about this gathering up front when faith comes to faith that the Holy Spirit shows up and God does miraculous things. You can be healed. You can get a word from the Lord, direction. You can get an answer to a problem. You can get a promise from God. I mean, just downloaded right into your spirit right here at the altar. The altar is where God always met with man. When Abraham built an altar and put a sacrifice, bam, fire came down from heaven. God said, I'm going to meet you at the altar. Even in the Old Testament tabernacle, the outer court, inner court, Holy of Holies, the Shekinah, the presence of God was at the altar. And God's inviting you to come to that place of the altar. It's called the place of meeting. All right? So when we get to stand, I want you to come. Altar ministers will be here. Those of you that raise your hand before you go that way, you come up here. Let us pray for you. You're not joining our church. We're not soliciting for church membership. We want you to belong to the family of God. That's all. All right? That's what we want. So you ready? Let's all stand up. Come on, altar ministers. Join me across the front. We're going to believe God for you and pray for you. Altar ministers, those of you that raise your hand, would you come and just walk that aisle and say, you know what? I'm going to pray with them. Find a guy. If you're a guy, find a guy. Girl, if you're a girl, find a girl. Amen. Amen. You coming up? All right. Pray with her. Janice, pray with her. Amen. Anybody else coming? Come on, way in the back over there on the right. Come on up here. We're waiting on you, man. This is all about you, not about us. We're waiting on you. This is where God's going to do some miraculous things in your life. Come on, sir. Thank you. Can we give him a hand clap? Come on, let's encourage him. Yeah, come on. Come on. Yeah, this is important. Yeah. Woo. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to clap like it was one of your family members you've been praying for 20 years. Woo! 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 That makes a difference. Now, if you would just reach a hand by faith out to all of these, you need prayer, come as even we're praying. Father, I thank you that you are saving souls. You are setting captives free. You are delivering the bound. You are loosing the hold of the sin in our life. You are letting us go. We are becoming free in Jesus' name. Father, you are appropriating the atonement for healing. God, we thank you that you're injecting in us prophetic utterance and words. We thank you today that heaven, oh God, is invading this space. And the glory of the Lord is filling us one by one. Father, use every person in this room today, Jesus. And as they come to you, God, I thank you that they are blessed. Blessed in their body, blessed in their soul, blessed in their spirit. I thank you, Father, that this is the day that they will remember when they came in contact with the living God. And God touched their life. We give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Now, before we go, we just have, how much time we got? Well, we're out of time. But can you give me like 2 minutes? Yeah. It's really important. Chris, would you mind coming up, talking about Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames? I don't have a microphone, man. I think there's one over there somewhere. I just want you to hear about Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. This is the director of Reality Outreach Ministries. He and his wife, Sherry, family attend the church. We are so blessed to have them here and to talk about Heaven's Gates, because you are seeing phenomenal things around the country. Tell the people.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's an exciting time and just an exciting ministry to be part of Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. And it's an honor to be able to bring it here to Church of the North Coast. How many here today have never seen Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames? Let me see your hands. You've never seen it. Wow, you don't want to miss this. You want to invite your family and friends. Guys, it's reality. The ministry is actually called Reality Outreach Ministries. And you see, we bring reality to the platform. How many realize that people need Jesus? Amen? People need the Lord big time. And guys, we have an opportunity here with this ministry to bring them in. You know, sometimes they'll say, I'm not coming to your church. I've seen how you all act in church. You're jumping around like you're crazy. They don't realize it's the love of Jesus that does it. Amen? You can give them a ticket. Invite them to come to the drama. Let God do a work. They will see. You're going to see in this drama. You will see something that you'll hear something. You will see something that you can relate to, that will affect your life, or what maybe changed your life, that you gave your life to Christ. But now's the time, guys, we can invite our families, our friends, our neighbors. How many love Jesus? Come on. How many love Jesus? And you know your name's in that Lamb's Book of Life. Amen?
Amen.
Now, does your family know that? Does your friends? Does your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends in school? Man, get them out here. Bring them out. September 21st. It's Sunday, September 21st, Monday the 22nd, and Tuesday the 23rd at 7 o'clock. Invite them out, guys. Go buy them a Happy Meal if you have to. Bring them to church. Bring them out. Let them hear the gospel through the drama, Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. Come get involved. We need your help. You know what? We've already contacted the prayer team here. They're already praying about it. Sign up out there. We've got speaking, non-speaking parts. God will use every one of you who want to be part of this drama. There's nothing greater than being part of a ministry that's winning souls for Jesus. That's why I'm glad to be part of this church. I see souls coming to Christ, and it excites my heart. And I want you to see that same excitement through Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. You got any questions or concerns? I'm here. Come talk to me. But please sign up. Bring your families and friends. Like Troy said, there's going to be tickets available for next week. Don't take those tickets and leave them on your counter or put them on your refrigerator. Give them to somebody. Invite them out. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thanks, Pastor.
It's going to be awesome. Love you too. Thank you. It's going to be awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, before you go, you got to look at somebody and say, I love you, and ain't nothing you can do about it. Don't forget the pot blessing on Wednesday night. I'm looking forward to eating your chicken and your peanut butter and jelly. 7 o'clock. God bless you. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard.